Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now let's take a trip back 20 years to 1993. As it happens, you can do that pretty easily right now using a very 1993 device, a New York City payphone. The New Museum and the ad agency Droga5 have cooked up a project to repurpose Manhattan payphones as story booths. So pick up any payphone in Manhattan and dial 1-855-4-1993. That's 1-855-FOR-1993. And you'll get a story about that neighborhood in 1993 from a notable New Yorker.
My name is Dave Ortiz. I'm a partner and owner of Dave's Warehouse, and this is a bike and skateboard lifestyle store for men. In 1993, I used to hang out in the meatpacking district pretty much every day. In the summertime, the smell down there, because there was so much blood and meat in the streets, that it reeked. Like, woo! You know, you get that, like, holy moly. And then you think to yourself, you're like, you know, I'm going to eat that probably later.
So that from 1993, when the meatpacking district was for meatpacking, and David Ortiz was not somebody on the Red Sox. Some of the other folks who contributed stories, Kevin Powell, Michael Musto, Robin Bird, and about a dozen others. And yes, if you do this in Inwood, Tribeca, or the Upper West Side, you will hear me as the narrator. Now, Karen Wong is deputy director of the New Museum, and David Droga is founding partner of Droga5. Karen, David, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks for including me in this super cool project. It was fun to read those scripts. And listeners, as we've been saying all morning, we're looking for a few volunteers to go to your nearest Manhattan payphone and give this a shot. 1-855-FOR-1993 for 1993. 1-855-FOR-1993. And, you know, if your boss has a problem with you ducking out of work, just tell them WNYC said it's okay. And I'm sure they'll be cool with that. So, David, we'll get some stories and talk about the legacy of 1993. But how did you pull this off? Are payphones even still connected to a central location, or did you install a recorder in every single phone booth in Manhattan that people are actually hearing different stories when they call from different neighborhoods?
Well, funny enough, that was the interesting challenge in the beginning, was trying to work out how many phones there are and how many were working. More were working than we thought. But essentially, you have a fossil on every block that's been there. You know, it's depressing to think 1993 was 20 years ago. But fortunately, majority were working, and each one essentially has its own code. So what, even if you call the same number, it can tell which neighborhood you're calling from. So we could really just get stories and make them specific to where you're talking. And it's actually a lot simpler than it sounds, because the biggest hassle or the biggest amount of juggling was just collating the stories. And I think once we got the first few volunteers, then they started to roll in. And again, people like yourself gave it such credibility that even today, more stories are being recorded that run the gamut.
Karen, there's an old George Carlin joke about Alexander Graham Bell when he invented the telephone. And Watson said, "What are you going to do with this, man?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going to get them to let me string wires everywhere, on every block, to every house, all across the world." He said, "They'll never let you do that, man." Was it hard to get the city to let you do this?
No, not at all. I mean, what's just so exciting is you know, the cultural landscape of New York City is so incredibly dense, and we definitely live in the global cultural capital of the world, and it's so hard to have your voice heard. So working with Droga5 is thrilling that they basically came up with a campaign that is so spot on with what our exhibition is trying to demonstrate, which was a time capsule of 20 years ago of some of the most memorable artwork that was being exhibited and produced. So, you know, there's nothing the city can say about that except this is a great campaign for New York City in general.
You want to hear from some callers who've actually done this and
Absolutely.
Are ready to report in on what they heard? Here's Carly in Murray Hill. Hi, Carly.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So you called that number from a payphone, and what did you hear?
I did. I heard Chaz Palminteri. He was talking about how in 1993 he had been fired from his job and was discouraged, and he wrote A Bronx Tale as a one-person show. And he put it up. It got great reviews, and he was offered $500,000 and then $1 million even to sell his play without any connection to it for himself.
Totally cool. Thank you for sharing that. Sam on the Upper West Side, what did you hear?
Hey, Brian, how you doing? I actually called hoping to hear your voice, but it wasn't you.
Yeah,
and it was
various people in each neighborhood. What did you hear?
Well, it was a story about the East Village and a club promoter who had a club night called 1984, and how 1993 was the great last year for going out to clubs, which sadly I was only 12 in 93, so I missed out on all that.
Thank you very much. And Karen, you're smiling. You recognize the content there?
No, I wasn't 12 in 1993, but what's great about this show is that it's the brainchild of some very young curators, starting off with the exciting director of exhibitions, Massimiliano Gianni, and then three other curators, all in their 20s and 30s, Gary Carrion-Murari, Jenny Moore, and Margot Norton. And so what they've done is they've taken material that they're quite not so familiar with and recontextualized it for this generation.
And this is what people would see in the exhibit portion of this project if they actually go physically to the new museum, right?
Right, which is the call to action after you listen to one of these amazing stories on the payphones.
And which is where, for people who have never been?
It's 235 Bowery, in the middle of the...
I mean, that's the culmination of the whole campaign, really. I mean, you can hear 1993 on the payphones, but you want to see it and feel it, the visceral side of it, go to the exhibition. But I think only New York City could have pulled this off, not only from the diversity of stories, from the location of payphones, but just the coming together of this sort of hybrid of different people and energies.
Right. It's the melting pot. It's the richness. It's the diversity. It's all the tribes coming together because we all love New York, and you know we want to be a part of this amazing fabric.
But it does beg the question. You know, what will happen to the payphone now? I know the city is trying to reinvent the payphone now.
And it's a Wi-Fi hotspot and this and that.
It could be so much more. It could be a place that anyone can get information from every.
And so I was wondering, why 1993? I mean, you could have done this last year for 1992, 20 years ago, or next year for 1994. But I guess the argument the exhibit makes is that 1993 was the moment in which underground culture and mainstream culture really started talking to each other in a different way.
Right.
Is that about right?
That is about right. The full title of our show is New York City 1993 Experimental Jet Set Trash and No Star, which is a famous album recorded in 93 by Sonic Youth. I mean, also at the time, Nirvana also had their epic album. You also had Clinton coming into office. So I think it's just this... conflagration of different political, social, cultural events that has gotten everybody just so excited.
Clinton coming into office in the same year that Rudy Giuliani was elected to office in New York. The early iteration of the internet at that time.
Yes, the Mosaic web browser, yes.
NAFTA, grunge.
Fashion Week started then.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Which is a great story if you pick up a phone in Midtown. Yeah.
Is there anything other than payphones from 1993 that either of you wish still exists, but it's kind of gone away?
Ooh, my youth.
Mine as well.
No, I don't. That's a good question, actually.
By the way, in chat, on our comments page, I should say, somebody just on Twitter, somebody just tweeted us a picture of a payphone in Inwood at 214th and Broadway, but she got that story from David Ortiz about the meatpacking district. Ooh. Are they randomly assigned?
No, they're meant to be. They're definitely meant to be assigned to sort of codes on each one of the phones, so it can tell you what the neighborhood is. So that obviously the payphones are living up to expectations.
Yes, it's not a 100%
exactly
fail-safe project when you're working with payphones. In fact, another one, this is on our comments page on our website, and Mike D. writes, my payphone didn't work, which really brought back memories of 1993.
Right. That's the ultimate experience right there.
You want to talk about some of the other stories in the project before you go? Besides the ones that we already heard, there's stories about policing, music, any favorites?
Well, they really, I mean, as I said, they do touch on so many things, you know, from Jim Abbott talking about throwing a no-hitter and what it felt like to be walking around the streets of New York City to just taste that New York celebrity for a brief moment, from Mario Batali talking about literally just the experience of opening his very first restaurant and what it cost. And we sort of got the payphone across the road from his original restaurant and compares that to what it costs now to have a top-notch restaurant. So it sort of does run that whole...
And the scripts that they gave me to read had to do with crime in different neighborhoods in 1993 and real estate in different neighborhoods in 1993. So I guess I got typecast as an issues guy. I don't know why that might have happened.
That's right.
I have no idea. Abby, in Greenwich Village, you went to your local payphone?
I went to my local payphone. I'm a restaurant owner, and I was very excited to hear Mario Batali as one of the options. He's always been a hero of mine. In 1993, I hadn't yet gone to culinary school, so it was very cool to hear him talk about opening Poe.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. And how many restaurants since then, right?
Yeah, many successful ones, indeed.
And on our comments page, Fuva writes, called from my work phone, got a message that started with 1993 reflections, and then told me to call from a payphone. So no cheating, people. You actually have to go to a Manhattan payphone in order to do this and dial 1-855-4-1993. That's 1-855-FOR-1993 for the audio from this project from the new museum and Droga 5. And Karen Wong, just tell people again how they can see the full exhibit in person.
Please come to the New Museum at 235 Bowery and go to our website, newmuseum.org.
Karen Wong, Deputy Director of the New Museum, and David Droger, Founding Partner of Droga 5. Super cool project. Really fun to have you in the studio. Congratulations on it, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Brian.
Very much.
And thanks for participating in our project.
Absolutely.
It was fun. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.